The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. From the Department of Communication Studies, Professor Jason Roach.
It is very good to be back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year indeed. I like your lacrosse shirt.
Thanks. It's almost cool. Lacrosse season.
Yes, it is. That's right. Well, you know, they train year round, but you know, they're actually going to start playing soon.
Nice.
That's a big deal. Since up until, I would say today, you know, a day in the month of January, we've had spring weather. You know, it's kind of nice to think that sooner or later winter will come and pass, and then it's time for lacrosse. What can I say? To Jason's right, in a wonderfully colored shirt, red like the blood of his enemies. I mean, we'll choke their rivers with our dead.
Except, you know, I have a red shirt that doesn't say Faygo on it.
Yes, that's true. Now, hey, I dressed up today. I had to meet with a representative of the Jesuit Provincial. That, of course, is the dulcet tones of the interim dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Education, Professor Roy Finkenbein.
Happy 2012.
Yeah, I like your tie, too. That's cool.
This is my Margaret Hour tie. It's got books on it.
Oh, yes. Yes. Our illustrious dean of libraries being referenced.
Our 50-year...
That's right.
It's a service, he's been illustrious
here 50
dean.
50 years. Yes, that's right. And what was it again? It was her 50 years. She had a birthday, and there were like 10 things going on in her life, so we had to like do a...
And Margaret Hour, one of her claims to fame is she was here in 1962 when Robert Frost gave his last public poetry reading in Callahan Hall.
That's right.
And it was attended by something like 12,000 people.
That's a pretty big deal. Yeah. That's about all Callahan Hall can hold.
Of course, chairs set up on the floor and everything.
Right, you know, right. You know. Very cool. I remember seeing pictures of that in the old yearbook, the tower from that year. Very cool, very cool. To Professor Finkenbein's right, from the College of Creative Studies in Detroit, Michigan, number three. Woo!
No, joy of joys.
Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here as always.
Yeah, we were talking about mounting student debt in the United States of America.
Number three in the nation, we are. We are so proud, I think. I just saw that this morning.
They say, Professor Chow, that after real estate, higher ed is the next bubble. So this leans in that direction.
Well, I guess I'll be doing caricatures at Cedar Point next summer, so nice knowing you guys.
Enjoy your day at America's roller coaster. What can I say? Across the table... the illustrious chair of many, many things in one line, but mostly math, Professor Jeff Boat.
Hey!
What's up?
Not too much.
Krusty the Clown.
Just feeling a little crusty here this new year.
Blame it on the coffee.
And it shows. I mean, no, everything's fine. Well, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Billionaires who've been imprisoned. Cartoon clowns. Maybe they're the same thing. I don't know. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp or blogs.udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166. You can send the questions USPS to College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. Before we get started today, profs, we're happy to welcome into the fold a new distributing station, WTBR FM 89.7 in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. The Brave FM, we're on Sunday mornings at 10, rocking the Berkshires and beyond.
All right.
Wow.
Can the word empire be used yet?
Rocking the Berkshires, wasn't that like Vanilla Ice's follow-up record?
I don't know. I do not know.
Wow, more people listening on the East Coast. Excellent.
That's a big deal.
More the merrier.
Let's see. We also have some people out west who are listening. I'm looking in your direction, Professor Boats, for a second. We were going to not be able to do this question until you showed up, but this is what we got off the web, courtesy of Joseph Floss of Denver, Colorado.
Oh, thank you, Joseph Floss, for putting more pressure in
Hold on, we're life. Not going to put like a television in a school bus again now, are we?
Joseph writes, I've been working with the parabolic curve formula. My highest degree is at the JC level. I've noticed that the formula is the same style as Einstein's formula of relativity. The formula style is the same, just different terms. So I did some research. Centrifugal force formula and centripetal force formula are also the same style, i.e. x times a times y squared.
Oh, yeah, lots of stuff. What do you call it? Kinetic energy.
Yeah, he says, give me more. Is the universe really built this way?
Yes, and let's see, Kinetic Energy leaps to mind.
That's the first one I thought of.
Oh, let's see, putting me on the spot, huh? Oh,
sorry, man.
So you tell the three of us on this side of the table are kind of looking blankly, you know, nice really. Ceiling tile.
I'm feeling very humanistic today.
There's all sorts of things based on square terms in the universe.
Where's Carl Sagan when we need him?
Yeah, right, well, actually, he's mentioned most of the major ones, I think. I mean, because, well, once you get to parabolas, there are so many things that are parabolic shaped just by their design. Mm-hmm. Satellite dishes,
bowls.
For example. Mm-hmm. Bowls. Well, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's better to say that just parabolas are useful in many ways, and so that formula was made to appear more than it naturally appears.
Neat. Very cool. Well, that was a great question, Joe Floss.
The fact that the physics formulas fall into that category, I think, is just coincidence, really.
I see. We have no problem with people sending us things that we may or may not know the answers to. It's no different than any other set of questions we get.
No.
So,
we have plenty of answers, and they're not always right.
Yeah, that's right.
We have plenty of answers.
Yeah. We also have another short little list here sent in by Joe. Oh, my. It's an epidemic. Mindlin of Dalton, Massachusetts. This former bad boy of the NBA played a character in a 1970 Saturday morning television show. Who was he? That's definitely a nod to our Detroit Pistons.
Bill Laimbeer.
It can't be Rodman. He wasn't old enough in the 70s.
No. It was Bill Laimbeer for sure.
Was it?
Yeah. Do you remember the name of the show is the second question.
And what was the year?
It says the 70s.
Was it an animated show or a real show?
Well, I'm guessing it was real because he had to be there. I know it's real.
I'm wondering, did he star as like, not like Bigfoot, but wasn't he like under a mask or a costume? Or
I think that that's where this is heading.
Yeah. Some robot or something like that. Yeah. It was like Andre the Giant and Bigfoot, $6 million man.
Space Academy?
I'll let you know that this show was rebuilt as a movie that came out fairly recently. I want to say it starred Brendan Fraser. I hope I'm not leading you down the wrong path.
Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah, I must be mixing it up. It's actually Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost.
Of the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did do that.
Do you remember the name of the character or group of characters that Bill played?
The Sleestak?
He was Sleestak.
He was Sleestak. That was close.
Yeah, he was the head Sleestak. He was a tall guy, even when
he
was
young. I want to
know
if he had lines.
Yeah, his lines were...
He just snarled at the camera.
That's right.
I want to give him extra credit for being a bad boy in an era where they wore shorts like that.
Yeah, that's true.
It took a lot of...
That's true. It's really important to point out that our crack research team went to the Wikipedia entry for Land of the Lost, 1974, and Bill Laimbeer is clearly listed as a Sleestak in the cast list.
I'm guessing that's fairly early in his career.
It had to have been.
I'm sure
the Bad Boys were late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm sure.
So he must have been a teenager, basically.
Yeah. Before he beat the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, he had to be tall back then. Lord knows he had the vertical leap of, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, there's that running joke that he could clear like loose leaf paper or something like that.
He had a great soft touch. That's all I know. I love that shot. Okie dokie. How about subject? New questions for the new year from Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. Thanks, Frank. Dear profs, at the end of last year, I sent in some questions regarding last things. Seeing as how this is a new year.
Oh, that's right. The last carrier pigeon's name or something like that.
Right.
That was bizarre.
Well, this is a new year, so I figured I'd send in a series of questions regarding firsts, presidential firsts. And 80% will be passing, and I hope the panelists enjoy the questions, and I wish everyone a wonderful new year. Warmest regards, Frank Burrows. Thanks a lot, Frank. That's great.
Here we go again.
Let's see what we can do with these questions.
Bad Boy's here.
And he's wearing his red shirt with library books on his tie.
He can reference any of those books at any time. Just...
Sometimes I wonder who keeps track of these sorts of things, and maybe, with all due respect, history professor, why it matters. But who is the first president who shook hands officially instead of bowing to heads of state? Someone was there to mark this down. That's all I know.
Well, there's only so many presidents. Yeah, it's like it was a 1 out of 42.
How early in the sequence of 40 whatever presidents do you think it would have been?
I'm going to take a shot, and this is purely a shot, because he tried to break with a lot of those earlier conventions and suggest Thomas Jefferson.
That is exactly correct.
Woohoo!
Wow.
That was simply based on what I know of the man.
And didn't he, I mean, he was one of the guys, my wife tells me, again, she's the historian, he was concerned that we were going back in a direction of like
British
a monarchy
rule.
Or a kingship. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, we got to keep it informal or whatever. So that makes sense.
He would greet people with his in his house slippers. at the White House.
There we go.
There's a man who's relaxed.
So he bowed, but he was wearing a robe, and it was.
You do know. 20 years from now, you know, somebody's going to be asking the question. It's going to be the first person to high five,
fist bump.
Yeah, exactly.
Or as we now know, wasn't it a communist socialist fist bump?
Oh yeah, that's right.
A terrorist fist bump.
Oh, that's right. The Obamas. I forgot about that. That
was his angry black woman wife.
New Yorker. Is that right?
Yes.
Wow.
Oh, stop being so bitter.
Oh,
I'm just waiting for sniffing.
Okay. Who was the first president who actually saw the Pacific Ocean in person?
Early 1800s.
Oh, yeah, that's a good place to start. Okay. I think that's reasonable.
First president.
Okay, I'm thinking
it's going to be.
It wasn't Ronald Reagan.
Ulysses S. Grant.
That is correct. It was Grant.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Saw the Pacific Ocean in person. How odd. That's a very interesting piece of trivia. Everything else was drawn on a Post-it note for the president. who was the first president to appoint a woman to the cabinet?
Probably FDR.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember who it was?
Francis Perkins.
Mm-hmm. Secretary of Labor. That's right. Absolutely.
Back when there were labor unions.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Outside of the academy and public service.
Pretty interesting. So what year would that have been, Roy? That's pre-World War II, I'm assuming?
Well, I think she started with this administration, maybe. So 33, let's
say. Okay, yeah, so it was pretty far before that. Who was the first president who was also a Rhodes Scholar?
Oh, I've read this.
Clinton, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it was Bill Clinton. Yeah, absolutely. I remember for
and
the
a
longest
bit of a horn
time,
dog, but that's another.
Yeah. I thought that was the prerequisite for being a Rhodes Scholar.
You know those
scholar.
Academic types, say.
But there was an era where bits and pieces of information like that, especially for heads of state, for presidents of the United States, that was like the fun trivia fact of the day. I mean, is when I was an infant, but didn't Jimmy Carter like constantly walk around going, I'm the first Eagle Scout who actually made it to the presidency? I mean, that was like...
Well, I don't know if he went around saying that.
Okay,
but
people did say that.
A lot of Eagle Scouts said that.
Yeah, but that was back in the day when, you know, people aspired to be a president, you know? I mean, you know, it was actually respected.
Well, yeah.
Back in the day.
There are plenty of people aspiring. It's just I'm not sure they should be.
Maybe conspiring.
Who was the first U.S. president to host an Indian chief in the White House?
I'm guessing that would have been pretty early also. Washington?
No, it wasn't.
I'm thinking like...
It was actually quite a bit after that.
Like a Teddy Roosevelt or...
No.
Wow.
It wasn't Lincoln? As late as Grant, was it?
It was Grant, yeah. It was actually Grant.
Wow, that guy got around.
I mean, you know, for being essentially, am I right, Roy, is like pretty much always at the bottom of most impactful presidents. He had a lot of firsts.
Well, that was his impact.
Also in the area of having some of the people who were amongst the best criminals in his administration.
Yeah,
too,
so. Well, he was a pretty big lover of the sauce and, well, whatever. Let's take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback, 1995.
Our next little bit of questions comes from Dirt Man.
Oh, good, Dirt Man.
Not again.
From Kindy, Michigan. Oh, yes.
Kindy. Is this someone new?
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
We know.
Well, but Dirt Man's been around.
You know Dirt Man.
Aren't we going to Kindy? One of our road
bar
trips?
And grill
probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
There's good bowling.
Is that where it is?
I didn't know that. It's a great place.
Where's Kindy?
Here,
thumb.
Dan, it's in the thumb.
Of Indiana?
All of us carry the map of the state around with us on our bodies.
Right.
Massachusetts is supposed to be doable, too. You just put your hand into these weird contortions.
Who
is
that?
This is Massachusetts.
George is making a threatening, perhaps obscene gesture.
Well, Dirt Man wants to know.
How do you say Cape Cod in Italian?
We are back, doing our best to keep the legacy of Ulysses S. Grant alive, and with some presidential first questions from Frank Burroughs. We really appreciate these questions, Frank. Your question sets come numbered 20 and quite regularly, and we appreciate that. Who was the first president who actually saw the Great Wall of China in person?
Nixon.
It was not Nixon.
What?
Really?
What? But only Nixon could go to China. It's an old
Teddy
Vulcan
Roosevelt.
Proverb.
Really?
I know.
Could it be
wasn't
Teddy Roosevelt?
Earlier than Teddy.
Earlier than Teddy, even? I'm shocked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it while he was president?
That is not detailed here.
Oh,
that
okay.
Not detailed here.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Anybody an ambassador, a diplomat prior to?
He was a very interesting president. It was Grant.
Wow. Did this man ever stay in office?
Well, what, did he go around the world? He went to the Pacific and just kept swimming?
Roy said he only drank when he was in China, so you know, he hung out there for as long as he could.
He went for a boat ride, was on the sauce, and he ended up in China. Here we
he
go.
He just hopped on the wrong ferry.
That's how he saw the Pacific, I think.
He was a great general, though, wasn't he?
Oh, he was a great general. He revolutionized warfare in America in many ways.
Yep.
He understood the concept of modern war in ways that a lot of the previous generals early in the Civil War didn't, and they followed kind of a more Napoleonic style. You line up on two sides and you go at it,
like,
and then you separate for a few weeks, and then you go back to
time out.
Grant, just every time he lost, he kept pushing ahead towards his target, even though he lost lots of men.
Well, professors, who was the first president to have a stove installed in the White House?
Well, I'll take Grant.
Grant? Or a heat stove.
It wasn't Grant.
Oh, darn.
Like a wood stove? For cooking
or a stove? I'm guessing it meant.
I'm guessing it's the first president to live in the White
John
House.
John Quincy Adams.
It wasn't.
Okay.
Who was the first to live in the White House?
At the very end of the the John Adams administration, 1800.
Oh, then Madison? Would be after him?
I mean, the best clue I have for you is that this president's name is ridiculed in a popular political modern comic strip.
Millard Fillmore?
Yeah, it was Millard Fillmore is what it says here.
That's interesting because he's also the first president to install a bathtub in the White House.
Oh, well, there you go. He was all about appliances and tubs.
Yeah, President Kenmore.
Who was the first president who wore long trousers on a daily basis as opposed to knee breeches?
Andrew Jackson?
No, it wasn't Jackson.
I'm guessing early 1800s, though, right? Like 18,
I think that that's
teens.
Within the ballpark.
Yeah, I mean,
Van Buren.
Wrong. Not Van Buren.
No,
he was the first to wear mutton chops.
I see,
and wear them well.
No hair, but lots of
Van Buren boys. No ideas.
Wow.
Well, if it's before Jackson,
I really hope I got that right. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean, you got John Quincy Adams. You got Madison Monroe.
If you think of his wife, you might think of snack cakes.
Dolly Madison.
Madison.
It was early 1800s. Right?
I'm still saying, did you guys hear the hostess is declaring bankruptcy? Now they're talking pastries? I mean.
Well, don't worry. Those Twinkies will last a long time, even after they're gone.
The inventory.
Sorry, did you ever see Zombieland?
No.
They do last forever.
They do last forever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who was the first president who was ever put on a postage stamp?
Washington.
Yeah, that's a good one. Washington, absolutely. It doesn't really say whether it's, you know, a Caribbean country or the United States. It always seems like Caribbean countries are publishing these Americanized stamps. It's very odd.
Those collectors.
Yeah, exactly. Who's the first president who didn't give an inaugural address? That's a great piece of trivia.
Well, Washington probably didn't give one.
Somebody maybe didn't live long enough to give it. Wow. No, that's right. He died after.
You think of Tyler? What?
Tyler. It says Tyler.
Oh, really?
Yeah. John.
Oh, because he was the first. Yeah, he was the first to replace a sitting president because he was vice president.
That's right.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's right.
Plus, he had 15 kids, and there was no way he was going to get that.
Yeah, he couldn't get a sitter.
You can't even see a movie with 15 kids. Are you kidding me?
He couldn't get a sitter.
Who was the first president who appointed an African-American citizen to a cabinet position?
I think Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson, absolutely.
Robert Weaver.
That's right. I remember that name. Who was the first president to give all of his federal paychecks to charity, directly to charity? Probably, for the record, gentlemen, the last one you'd think they would do this.
Eisenhower?
Not possibly? Eisenhower. That would have made sense.
Well, you figure he was
probably was already rich. How about Bush? Reagan?
No. Further back from Eisenhower, but not too far back.
Truman?
Not Truman.
FDR?
No, it was Hoover is what it said. Hoover. It's like that would have been pretty much last
Hoover
on my list.
I thought it might have been somebody like in the military who's going to collect a pension. He's set for life.
Yeah. Hoover was actually, unfortunately, he had bad timing, but Hoover was very into social justice and concerned about the poor. And,
Nowadays, most presidential candidates are already millionaires, if not multimillionaires. I mean,
Who's the first president to completely pay off the U.S. national debt? And it could possibly be the last.
Barack Obama?
No.
I don't think so.
Unless he plans on printing more money.
Is there that much paper?
I don't know. No, we'll do it in pennies.
Oh, probably. Well, the 50s were a booming time.
I'm going to think you're going to need to go back further.
Further than that, okay. Oh, good. Well, I guess we had other room times.
I never knew
that. It says the first one to completely pay off the national debt.
Yeah, Washington?
Wilson?
No.
Before Wilson.
Wow. Yeah, it was before Wilson.
Hmm.
We're talking 1800s era.
Probably pre-Lincoln.
Wow. Pre-Lincoln? Yes. Oh, gosh. See, you're going to make me look like a fool. Tippecanoe?
Oh.
Tyler.
It's Jackson, right?
No, Tippecanoe was William Henry
Harrison. Oh, Harrison.
And I'm going, how do you pay it off in a month? No. The guy only lived a month.
What am I thinking? What was his name? What was his nickname they always used in the campaign slogans?
Old Hickory.
Old Hickory is what I was
thinking. Yeah, you're thinking Tippecanoe. I'm thinking Tyler, too. I mean, yeah.
That's my problem, because now I've embarrassed myself twice over. It was Jackson who paid off the national debt. What time was Jackson? 18?
29 to 37.
Okay. No, he just paid off the accusers.
Oh, that's right. Oh, jeez.
Who was the first president who had two vice presidents die while in office? That stinks.
Lucky.
Henry VIII. I am Henry VIII.
It's one we've already mentioned. Jeff is going to answer. Not one we've mentioned 100 times.
Oh, okay. So it's not Grant.
Grant's out. Modern era, probably out.
Madison?
It was Madison, yeah. It was Jim Madison. Who's the first president to have his inauguration photographed? That's fairly easy to time, I think.
Lincoln or Johnson?
I mean, it's around there, but not those gentlemen.
Grant.
Well, no. You're working.
I'm going to go out and say, for the rest of the questions.
Buchanan?
It was Buchanan. Okay.
Jim also Buchanan. Had another singularity. He's the only bachelor president.
Oh, that's right. Ah. That's right. I was about to say.
And actually, there's a lot of suggestive evidence that he was probably maybe our only president that was in a same-sex relationship.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Huh. Who was the first president who was sworn in on two Bibles?
Jefferson?
Side commentary here is, ironically, sworn in on two Bibles. I think I remember this, too.
Nixon?
Ironic.
It was Nixon.
I'm not a crook.
Nixon identified with the Quakers? Is that right?
His mother, I think it was, was Quaker.
So he had a family. I think it was a family Bible, and then there was the Supreme Court Bible or something like that. I remember reading
Is there
this.
A Bible that they're supposed to be sworn in on? Is it the Supreme Court Bible or what?
They tend to choose ones. Obama used Lincoln's.
Go back into the Library of Congress.
That's I love right. George Carlin's take on swearing in on the Bible. I won't say it, but YouTube George Carlin's swear in the Bible. And it's hysterical.
Find everything you need.
I put my left hand on the yellow pages and...
Exactly. Who was the first president to receive his oath of office from the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court?
LBJ?
No.
On the jet? Oh, no.
No.
Chief Justice. I was thinking...
It was Alexander Haig who became president of the jet, right. Isn't it?
When was the Supreme Court founded?
That was he was in the White House in control.
I thought it was right. Yeah, I thought it'd be like Johnson on the plane if this.
Isn't it always that's how they do the swearing in though? At least
the chief justice.
First one, chief justice.
The chief justice. I mean, I'm guessing that there had been ones previous to this where the chief justice wasn't the.
Let's go take a shot. Let's go for Jefferson again.
No, it wasn't Jefferson. But I'll tell you what, clock one back.
John
Adams. It was just the second president.
That makes sense.
So Washington. Yeah,
it's always been the tradition. I thought.
Who was the first president who affirmed the oath of office rather than swearing to it? Everything just keeps getting dialed back. Sooner or later. Are you familiar with this? We're cool.
Yeah, I do.
I do.
What does he affirmed mean? Does that mean that you're a good document?
Have you previously downloaded and possibly skimmed?
I don't recall.
Any ideas?
Affirmed.
Oh, that sounds awfully noncommittal.
Same first name as an affluent suburb of our fair city up near Bingham Farms.
Beverly Hills?
Franklin?
Franklin Pierce. Beverly Hills?
Yes, it was Franklin Pierce.
Good absolutely. Apple cider, too.
Oh, delicious. Yeah. If you can get weasel your way in there, there's so many people.
What does affirm mean? Yes, I'm aware there's an oath. I'm not swearing it. Yes, I'm aware there's an oath.
People who haven't seen George Carlin's night.
I heartily endorse this event and or product.
I'm here.
Who was the first president to have his inauguration broadcast live on the internet?
Obama, right?
Probably.
Nope. No. It was earlier than that.
Clinton?
It was Bill Clinton, yeah. Hmm. Absolutely. The very first day.
Wait a minute.
Of the internet.
He was sworn in 92.
They had the internet back then?
Not publicly.
And they well, get streaming you know, for the internet?
And then people 92? Talk about what's the first listserv, what's the first, you know, alt.nerd.obsessive.
Streaming
you know,
video right? back then.
If they did it live back then, it was not publicly accessible.
It would still possibly, be buffering
today. Navy. It would still be
possibly people
today.
In the Navy watched it.
Yeah, exactly. Or heard it, maybe. Well.
That's right. Who was our last question? You guys have done very, very well, as I'm sure all the listeners understand. Who was the first president to wear contact lenses? I have to think about this one.
Like Bush?
First, you're going to need to have contact lenses be invented. Next, you'll need to be a president.
The wooden Next, you don't want to have lenses.
A monocle. A monocle. That's so awesome. Who was Mr. Peanut and when was he president?
Would it happen to be
Jimmy
Kennedy?
Jimmy Carter?
I'm sorry?
Wouldn't happen to be Kennedy?
It was later than Kennedy.
Okay.
Was it Jimmy like Carter? You mentioned
the
peanut guy.
Was it
Gerald Ford?
Ford? No. Getting close.
Reagan?
It was Reagan, apparently. Huh.
And next you're going to tell me that red hair wasn't natural.
Oh, my gosh. What is it? No,
I'm shocked.
He had the serious Grecian formula going on, right? I mean,
yeah.
It was lead acetate, I think. Is what I'm not joking. It is. It's,
well, that's good stuff. It seeps right into your skin and into your brain.
He did say well a lot, didn't he? In the immortal words of Homer Simpson, don't worry, everyone. For our six-hour car ride, I brought my Rap and Ronnie Reagan tape. It always makes the trip go faster. Oh, my. Well, thanks a lot for those questions, Mr. Burroughs. That's fantastic stuff. We're seriously looking forward to some more great questions from you, and thanks for listening. It looks like we're going to have to say goodbye. Perfectly timed, I'd like to say. Professor Boats.
Toodaloo.
Professor Chow.
Goodbye.
Professor Finkenbein.
Rick Perry won't be turning up in a future list, will he?
Professor Roach.
I can't follow that.
Now these words from the University of Detroit Mercy.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu, or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, ask the professor.
I don't want to just read the book. I want to write the book.
I don't want to just work for the company. I want to own the company.
I don't want to just live in the building. I want to design the building.
To some, those might sound like rather lofty goals, maybe a little out of reach.
I don't want to drive a sports car. Well, I do. I want to engineer one.
At University of Detroit Mercy, those are the people we want. The big thinkers, the dreamers, because those are the people who make things happen. Great things for themselves and others. And if you're one of them, either just out of high school or ready to transfer, UDM will make it happen for you. Call 1-800-635-5020 today or apply online at www.udmercy.edu. It's not too late.
I don't want to just hope for the cure. I want to discover the cure.
University of Detroit Mercy. We want great things for you.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies and the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols Campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.